Hello and welcome to another edition of the Fawcast. I'm Jared Stansberry, joined by Adam Gray. Kind of an unorthodox Fawcast this week, Adam.
People are turning off the Fawcast right now.
Yeah.
They're wondering where C-Dub and the Charter are, but I promise you it's going to be better. It's going to be better than what those two hacks are on the show.
C-Dub is in Florida, and Charter is MIA.
Well, so no, let's be fair here. C-Dub is not in Florida. His flight got delayed till 6 o'clock. He could be here recording this right now. He chose not to be.
Mm-hmm.
He says he's going to stay up in Ames and work. I think that's a complete lack of respect for the Fawcast. But, you know, it's funny. I'm actually looking forward to him and Bloom calling the games down in Florida because you ever listen to Heft and Walters call games. They obviously have a disdain for officials that call bad calls. Bloom is going to be the complete opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Bloom, it's going to be hard hearing him as he is – you know, talking up the officials at the same time.
Are you trying to insinuate that that Brent Bloom will be pleasuring himself during this basketball game?
No comment, Jared. I don't know why you had to go there, but and then
you're the one that went there. I don't know why you're saying. I don't know why you had to go there.
I feel like you took it and went a two steps further. But yes, that is what I'm saying. That Bloom enjoys himself some referees.
I just wanted you to stop beating around the bush and just say
just
something.
Just say something. Okay.
Yeah.
And then Charter, actually just a miscommunication. We're actually doing this today at the CF office.
Yeah, this was actually 100% your fault.
No, it wasn't actually. It was Charter's. So we did it at the CF office because we're recording all of these early because of Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. And told Charter we're going to be coming out here today. He misunderstood, thought we were still doing it at Charter House Real Estate. He didn't show up. And like a good agent that he is, he's very busy selling houses, short on time, couldn't make it out here. So for the first time in Fawcast history, I think we've done, 103 of these, 102?
Something like that.
Mark Charter's not on a Fawcast. This is a sad day.
Yeah.
Very.
Well, that's the first thing I said. You're like, Charter said to just record without him.
Yeah.
And I was like, he's always boasting about his perfect attendance, and now it's over.
Yeah, he was like that nerd in school that never missed.
It's like when Brett Favre's start streak ended.
Yeah, that was a tough day for me. It was a very tough day for me. But no, yeah, Charter can't make it. He's selling houses, and he says that's the reason. Personally, I think it's because he's now lost 3 straight weeks in the pick'ems. He's going to be taking the shot again, and I think he bitched out. Quite frankly, I'm just going to call him out for it. I think he bitched out.
Wow. He probably thought that he was going to have to take a shot of Malort when he got here.
He did, and, you know, he actually would have been, he'd been free and clear because I didn't have any Malort today.
Yeah. I'm glad that I don't have to take a shot at Malort.
I should have made you fill in for him.
No, I'm not taking shots at anything.
So, people listening, Jared and I, we had a little break. We just got done doing CFTV Live with Jeff Woody, and we're doing this Fawcast podcast, and we're doing one with Kirk Holland for the On the Trail podcast coming up next. We swung over, had lunch, and Jared, like the child he is, orders chicken strips. I mean, I don't know anyone over the age of 12 that goes and orders chicken strips for lunch.
Jared. That's some BS, man. Some BS.
Just telling you right now.
How can you say that to me? I don't get it. I mean, what's wrong with chicken strips? I want nothing, everybody out there.
There's nothing wrong with
I
chicken strips.
I want everybody out there in Cyclone Fanatic Nation to rally with me and admit that chicken strips are the OG bar food because that's where we were.
First off, no one knows what OG means. Okay.
Okay. Well, then I'll tell them. Original gangster. Okay. That's what it means.
Chicken strips are fine if you're under 12. And also if it's for an appetizer.
False.
They're not acceptable for
False.
A meal. You can't
False.
Get, eat a lunch as
False.
Chicken strips.
False. I had fries with them as well. False. You are 100% incorrect.
So because this is an unorthodox podcast, we put out a couple questions to people on Twitter. Do you want to run through these questions here quick?
Yeah, I like this one that Nate just submitted. Lindgren on Twitter at Nate_no. 88. If you hit the Powerball, $360 million, what would you do by etc.?
Yeah, so I've thought about this quite a bit.
Yeah, so have I. It's okay.
First, I would donate a large part of it to Iowa State football. For years, it was going to be for the Southeast End Zone. Well, that's already done. So now I look at it and say, the press box is hideous. It's way too small. I don't really care about the media. I don't care about if you guys are comfortable up there. Quite frankly, you guys could be uncomfortable, and I'd be perfectly fine with that, Jared. But I think as far as how it looks, I think that needs to – so I would send some money over for Iowa State football for the press box and for other things, maybe some recruits, some five-star recruits. I'd send some money their way for that as well. And then, you know, from there, I
we've really escalated quickly there.
Well, it's, let's be honest. That's what you do when you get big
now
money,
we'll
right?
just go do our recruiting podcast right after this one, after Adam just said that he would
buy players.
His $360 million would go towards NCAA violations.
Laquan Treadwell, he wouldn't be going to Ole Miss if he came to Iowa State. Let's just put it out there. So, yeah, I do that. And then from there, personal stuff, you know, pay off everything. I don't know if I'd go too crazy. I think we would just travel a lot as a family. You know, we'd go to a lot of different places that you couldn't go to before.
You'd go to Disney World, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, we'd go to Disney World, but it would not rank high on my list. Actually, I think we might go to Disney World in January this year.
First place that you would go would be Worlds of Fun in Kansas City. Never been to Kansas City. That's what you would say.
I've been to Kansas City plenty. What are you talking about?
Have you ever been to Worlds of Fun?
Yes. Yes.
It's awesome. I like Worlds of Fun.
You could tell. You could tell you're from Colorado right now. You could tell where you're from.
My $360 million. Sorry, it's reading a tweet, but my $360 million, I would probably. I don't know what I would do. Put it all in the bank.
Oh my gosh, a great answer. Okay, next question.
I'd pay all my rent for the rest of the year.
This comes from our good friend Ted Flint. Kansas, love you, Ted. If you
this
don't,
is really that's
it's not
really,
it's not even a question.
No, that's not for that's not even a question. Skip that one.
Okay. How about another one from Nate? He's asked a lot of questions. Foot race, Todd Blythe or Alan Lazard?
I don't know. I didn't watch Todd Blythe play very much, so I can't give much insight here.
So this is my take. I think Blythe actually might be a little bit quicker in and out of cuts at times. That's a tough question. They're both big. They're both good. Blythe was a better athlete than people remember him as. Straight speed, probably Lazard by a hair, but they're very similar. Where Lazard makes up the difference is he's probably what 15 pounds heavier, a little bit thicker.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, but both great Iowa State wide receivers.
I'm not sure what Todd Blythe's playing weight was.
Yeah, he was a stud. People, you know, that's the thing that always drives me crazy. People like to kill Todd Blythe because they say he didn't run routes all the time. He didn't do this, do that. Guy owns every record. Now, Lazard's going to break receptions as long as he stays at Iowa State next year. He'll break probably yards. Mm-hmm. He's not going to break the touchdown record unless he goes absolutely crazy his senior year. But, I mean, Todd Blythe's one of the best receivers. I mean, is at this point the best receiver in Iowa State history. So, Iowa State fans could probably give him a little bit more credit than they have before in the past.
You want to hear my Todd Blythe story?
Let's hear it.
So when Nebraska came to Jetro Stadium the first year of the Bill Callahan era, I think it was 2004, I was 10 years old, and it was my second game at Jetro Stadium. I'd come to watch Iowa State play Texas A&M earlier in the season.
Yeah, we got smoked in that game.
They did.
Yep.
Texas A&M had a guy at quarterback that was pretty good. I can't remember what his name was, though.
Dual threat kid.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I saw Todd Blythe in that game. I thought he was awesome. I was like, oh, I love Todd Blythe. So when we came to Ames for Iowa State and Nebraska, I got the bright idea. I'm 10 years old. I'm going to call in to the Nebraska pregame show, and I'm going to be on the radio. And so I did, and I asked my question. I was like, do you think that Todd Blythe could have a big game today? And then I think he caught two touchdowns in the first half and had like 200 yards in the first half of the game.
He was a beast in that game.
Yeah, and Nebraska got beat by like 30 points.
It was a great day.
Yeah, my mom, after the game, she said, you're never calling into the pregame show ever again.
That's
I was 10 years old.
So good amount. Did you cry afterwards?
No, I did not cry afterwards. I was just shook that I asked if he could have a big game, and then all of a sudden he went out there and killed him. I was like, I'm bad luck for the Huskers. I can't ever call again.
You know,
never have called since.
If that was the case for Iowa State, I wouldn't be able to do anything. I would never go to games anymore for football, or I wouldn't do anything. If I was superstitious enough about Iowa State football, I think I would have used up all my good luck charm, and it would be nothing left but negative, and I couldn't go to any more games.
Well, I was 10 years old, so.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got a question here. This is actually a great question from Lee. Should grooms just pick out suits for groomsmen to buy instead of rent? Buying sometimes only $150 more, and you own it. So, Jared, you're still pretty young. Have you even been in a wedding yet? Have you been an usher or groomsman or anything where you've had to rent a tux?
No.
Okay. So, people got to understand here, too. I got a big family. I got four brothers, two of which have been married, and a sister has been married as well. When you rent a tux, it costs you about $150. And you wear it for one day and you get rid of it. That's a tough pill to swallow for $150. So I am all about buying it, mm-hmm. even if it's a little bit more expensive, and keeping it and having a suit that you can wear forever. I had a buddy, though, 2 years ago, asked me, he goes, hey, you know, would you rather buy than rent? I said, yeah, no, I'd rather buy. Like, I'd rather spend just a little bit more, thinking it'd be a little bit more. We go, we get fitted for the suit and everything. Guess how much it cost?
I don't know.
$600.
To buy it?
To buy the suit. Now, granted, I still have the suit, and I just took it in to get it tailored the other day because I got a wedding coming up this weekend to get it kind of slimmed down a little bit. But $600, I would... It depends. If the price is $250 or under to buy a suit, I would rather buy a suit than rent. If it's anything more than that, I would rather rent.
Why did you buy it then?
Well, you can't say no then. I'd already said yes. So he took us all. All of us guys went there and we got fitted together, right? The tailor's checking you out, and then they bring it out. And then at the end, okay, we're giving you a deal. Here's the deal. It's a great suit, blah, 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 $600. I almost choked.
I don't even have $600. I guess we have the answer to whether or not I'm going to rent or buy whenever my first friend gets married.
But you're getting to that point, though, in your life where people get married. It's expensive, because especially if you're in the wedding, right?
The funny thing is I keep having people tell me you're getting to that point in your life where you're going to be in weddings. I don't have a single friend that's close to getting married.
You hang out with some losers then, don't you?
Or I just hang out with some, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, some losers. good stuff. Yeah, do we have any other questions here quick before we kind of move on?
No, I don't think so.
No, nothing.
Aaron wants to know if he's our favorite listener.
Absolutely not. Aaron can kiss my ass. Charter, as we know, he actually did better last week. He went 2-3 after going 0-5 last 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
He is now 2-13 in his last 2 weeks, or 3 weeks.
2-13. Wow.
Do we want to go to picks now, or do we want to have a couple? See, this is freeing for me because the podcast is off topic. There's a lot of things that I always want to talk about, and C-Dub does not let me do it. He puts a muzzle on me sometimes.
Yeah, I know. I'm well aware.
Or if I start going.
Sorry, Chris Miller's going off on me on Twitter right now.
That's fine. If I go into a conversation, if I have a take on something and I go into it, Chris cuts me off, and then I never get to finish, bring my point home. And then people think I'm just crazy.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of things I need to say.
Just okay, then say what you got to say.
No, that's all right.
What? Are you serious? You just go off on this little rant about how I don't get to say what I want to say. Now you're like, I give you the outlet to say what you want to say. Now you don't want to say what you want to say. You're like a girl.
Well, there's no good way of bringing into this conversation. There's a lot of conversation. If we somehow get into it, then we'll talk about that.
All right, fair enough.
Okay, you ready for picks?
Yeah.
Let's do picks quick. So Charter sent me his, and I'll pull him up here and we can go through him. He is going for the teams that have completely screwed him over so far this year. Teams that he's picked and they've not done well for him. He's starting, and I can't believe he's doing this, he's taking the Clones. ISU +7.5. This game opened at +10. It's dropped to 7.5.
7.5?
To me, that just screams taking West Virginia.
Yeah.
Whenever you see that line move 2.5 points. I won't take either of those teams. I hope Iowa State keeps it going and wins. But unfortunately, I will be at a wedding down in Missouri, and I will not be at the game.
All right. Chris sent me his picks. The first pick that he sent me was Nebraska +3 at Iowa. And then I informed him that Nebraska will be potentially starting the third-string quarterback.
So
weekend,
what's wrong with Tommy?
He pulled his hamstring.
When?
In the Minnesota game.
Oh, did he play in that game?
Yeah. Yeah, he played most of the game, and then it was right at the end. On the game-winning touchdown is when he did it.
This is the game after the Ohio State game?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then he didn't play last week against Maryland, and Riker Fife broke his wrist, the backup quarterback.
His left wrist, though. Why can't he play?
I think that he might be able to, but they don't know that for sure.
Okay.
So it's most likely going to be Zach Darlington, who is the third string quarterback, who's actually a receiver now.
Okay.
Might be the starter. So.
Okay. So he's not picking that.
So he's not going to pick Nebraska +3. He's going to take Penn State -12.5 against Michigan State.
Where's that game at?
I think it's at Michigan State.
Wow. Okay. I will go with the team that you and all media people are completely overreacting about how it's being handled down there in Austin, Texas. I will take Texas -2.5 at home against TCU because I think the players are pissed off. They will fight for Charlie, even though Charlie's done, but they will be one of those like Dan McCarney games.
Oh, you say Charlie's done?
Yeah, he's done.
Charlie's done?
He is done.
No, he's not.
Okay. See, this is where you guys...
Nobody's ever said that Charlie's none.
You don't... People don't have to say something for you to know it's true.
Well, and exactly. That's the point. That's what I'm trying to say. Charlie's done. But we can't come out and just say that?
No. Here, okay, this is why media completely overreacts and everything, right? Texas is not the first football team in history to have a coach that everyone knew was going to be fired, but they haven't fired him until the end of the year. The only reason it's a big deal is because it's Texas, right? It's one of the biggest college football schools mm-hmm. in the country, and everyone's mm-hmm. making a big deal out of this. And they're saying that the way Texas is handling this is they're bump, you know, they're mishandling this and so on and so forth. Texas, from the very get-go, so they would look this over at the end of the year, right? They would talk to Charlie. They would as soon as the season was over, they would look back on the year and they would decide what they're going to do with Charlie. Nothing's changing in that regard. Now, something came out earlier in the week that said he was going to be fired, but nothing from the university itself. I don't really understand how that's the university's fault. If they fired Charlie Strong right now, he'd be getting asked the same questions, just in a little bit different way. The players would still be under the same scrutiny that they are now, asking about it. What is different? What is the difference between firing him?
There's not that uncertainty. There's not the cloud hanging over his head.
There's no cloud. He's fired. Like, we know he's fired. It's just wait. Wait 1 week. That's the thing. Like, everyone acts like, you've got to know right now. Why? What's the difference between right now and 1 week? There's no difference. There's no difference.
I just think it's shady. Why not just say he's fired? Why not just say it?
Because they already said it before the season that they would wait until the end of the year.
So if this was Iowa State and it's like, okay, we're going to go through this whole week and it's like, are they going to fire him or not?
Okay, but here's the difference. At Iowa State, nobody from a national perspective gives a shit about Iowa State. Mm-hmm. They don't, right? Like the Stuart Mandels and the guys from ESPN and all over the place, they're not coming to Ames, Iowa to find out if Iowa State's firing Paul Rhodes and interview Paul Rhodes. ESPN is sending everyone down to Austin, Texas to see what's going on with Charlie Strong. That's the difference.
I'm just saying that I feel bad for Charlie Strong because he's got to sit in a press conference and they say, what does this mean for your future? And he looks at it and he's like, I don't know.
How different is it than if he's fired? That's my question. He's fired or he's not fired? He's answering
questions. At least he knows if he's fired, he's got his 10 mil that's coming in the bank, and he's like, you know what?
He's getting 10 million regardless. That's irrelevant. The money part of it's irrelevant, right? So here's the thing. They let him know he's fired. The media's going to ask him questions about fired, and you feel sorry for the guy, right? Because mm-hmm. that's not a fun press conference either.
No, I've been there. I've been at that press conference.
Yeah, well, Paul Rhodes' press conference, was that fun last year?
Absolutely not. That was not a fun press conference to go to.
And that's my point. It doesn't, if he's fired or if he's not fired, it's not going to be a fun press conference. He's going to be asked hard questions. The players are going to be asked questions all week leading up to it one way or the other. To me, it doesn't matter if they fire him now or in 1 week. It doesn't matter. The only people are saying what Texas is doing is terrible or it's a dumpster fire down there. Just calm down. He's not the first coach to go through this. It happens every year all across the country. The only reason it's a big deal is because it's Texas. It's the only reason. It's the only reason it's a big deal.
I still feel bad for Charlie Strong.
I do too.
I feel like he was dealt a bad hand from the beginning.
No, he was. And I've always had Charlie Strong's back. I've always thought he should have got a fourth year. I thought he comes into a bad situation where they're obviously Mack Brown didn't have the program going in the right direction. He completely cleans house and it takes some time to build it back up, even though they have better players. But when you lose to Kansas and especially this Kansas team, that's tough. Like, I can't tell Texas that you should keep this guy based on that. If they would have won this game and then gone and beat TCU and they won seven games, I think he should have had another year, personally, in my opinion. But now, now he's gone. Unfortunately, rightfully so, because that is a good job, and they do have players down there, and they should win more than five or six games a year.
Yeah, definitely.
So, back to the picks. I took Texas -2.5. I feel really good about that. It would not surprise me if they win that game by 14+. I think they're just going to absolutely roll TCU.
Yeah, I'd buy that. C-Dub has South Carolina +24 at Clemson.
South Carolina +24 at Clemson, and I have that game as well. Rivalry game. South Carolina's defense is pretty good. They're playing okay. I don't think they win, but they'll keep that within 20. Okay, Charter. Next up for Charter. I don't know why he does this. Michigan State +12.5. He's going against Williams in the Penn State. I don't think Charter's gotten Michigan State right once in last year. Not one time.
Yeah, I don't know. Michigan State's not very good. I don't know why.
They played well when they played Michigan and Ohio State. Otherwise, they've been terrible.
Uh-huh.
Well, and Rutgers, but everyone besides Iowa makes Rutgers look really bad. For some reason, Rutgers look, fairly decent.
And you tried to say that you don't troll.
That's not trolling. That's a fact. Iowa made Rutgers look like a a competitive football team. Everyone else has not made him look that way. Everyone else has made him look like they're like it's Dowling versus North.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. All right. What do you got?
No, it's I already took I took South Carolina as well.
Back oh, yeah. Home. Okay. Minnesota plus 14.5 at Wisconsin.
Okay.
I'm not the one taking these, so if you're like questioning them, don't
no.
Don't question me. I'm just reading them right off the email.
Minnesota plus 14.5.
Yeah.
All right. And let's see here. We'll go to Charter next. Charter took Baylor minus 5. I don't know why anyone.
Who are they playing?
That's a good question. Let's pull that up here. We should know this. Baylor's playing Texas Tech. It's actually minus 5.5. He's not getting that half point. Gosh, I don't know. Those two programs that both just look terrible lately. Obviously, we saw what happened with Texas Tech, which was
yeah.
which is glorious. And Baylor's lost, what, 4 straight?
Yeah.
Their quarterback's out. I wouldn't bet on that one. But
okay,
like,
okay, Charter.
But Charter, like he says, these are teams that have screwed him over all year.
Yeah.
Baylor has to. There's another pick coming up here that people listen to Fallcast and probably laugh because he always takes his team as well. Okay, now to me. I got to make a pick here. I'll be honest, I'm doing this on the fly. Good radio here, isn't it?
Yeah. Come on, Adam. Let's go. Let's go. Pick something. Let's go.
I will do the over in the Alabama-Auburn game of 47 points because I think Auburn comes out with their hair on fire just to get a quick touchdown or two, just to get a little bit of momentum going.
Mm-hmm.
And then Alabama rolls them from there, but that 14 points is enough of a difference to make them cover. So I'll take the over of 47 in Alabama-Auburn.
All right, staying in that game, C-Dub's going to take Auburn at plus 17.5.
Is it still 17.5? Let's take a look. Yep, it is. He gets it. Yeah, that's a good pick. That's a lot of points in a rivalry game, as good as Alabama's been.
I was going to say, Alabama rolls everybody.
When was the last time Alabama didn't cover?
It's been a while. Every time that Alabama's come up in our picks, I've picked them, and I've never missed them.
I'm pulling this up here. They've covered 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in a row, and they've only not covered twice this year. The two games they didn't cover was Kentucky. They beat them 34-6, and they did not cover Mississippi. Yeah.
They didn't cover against Kentucky, and they rolled them anyway.
34-6. Yeah, they only got 28 points.
Yeah.
But the spread in that game was, 37.
Wow.
So they weren't even close. All right, back to Charter. Charter's going to take Ohio State at minus 6.5.
Who do they play? Oh, Michigan. Yeah, Michigan.
That's the game of the week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No kidding.
There's no question about that.
I mean, it is number 2 versus number 3, so.
Yeah. Have C-Dub do another pick here. I'm looking at.
C-Dub's last pick is Mississippi State plus 7.5 at Ole Miss.
Interesting. Mississippi State plus 7.5, okay. And the last pick for Charter, he does pick some all time. I don't think they've ever been right for him. He's taking Oregon. I don't know why he keeps picking Oregon. But he's doing Oregon minus 3.
There you go.
Cap.
Who do they play Oregon State? Right? Or yeah. Who?
I'm pulling this up here.
Charter needs to put who?
Oregon State. They're playing at Oregon State. They're favored by 3 points. So, okay.
Do you think Charter knows anything about Oregon State?
I don't think he knows anything about anything based on his picks. He's 2-13 last 3 weeks. I mean, you can't be that bad on picking and then claim to know anything. Other than that, guys, Charter's great. Go use him if you're buying a house. All right, here we go. I'm pulling up my picks here. I got 2 more to do. I'm going to take
these are surprise, surprise. We're waiting for Adam.
Let's be fair here. We're doing this week 2 days earlier than we normally do. All right, I'm going to take I don't like any of these games. These games are terrible. I'm going to take Toledo plus 9. Against Western Michigan. Western Michigan's obviously undefeated. They got a lot to play for. Toledo will be up for them. This is a payback game, if you don't remember. Matt Campbell's last game there, they had a chance to win the conference. They lost to Western Michigan, and then Iowa State hired him right after that. But the Toledo players are still there. I think this is a payback game for them. I think they covered the 9 points. Would not be surprised to see them win that at all. What do you feel about that? How do you feel about that pick?
And PJ Flex undefeated run? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't know if
You said they might win.
They might win, yeah. So they might, yeah, end his run. PJ Flex, obviously a great coach. I think he's one of those guys, too, though, that's going to be a big name, and he's going to get to a big program. He's going to let it go to his head a little bit, and I think he's going to be a bust. I could be wrong, but I'll put my name out there on that. I think PJ Flex will be a bust at the next level. And then the last pick, I'd like to pick against them a lot this year. I think they're terrible. I'll take Arkansas -8.5 against Missouri, even though it's at Missouri. Missouri, they're terrible. They're playing for nothing. Arkansas seems to be playing a little bit better, too. So Arkansas -8.5.
You picked it for Paul Rhodes.
Yeah. Rhodes, you know, they've had quite the up and down year there at Arkansas this year.
I don't know anything about Arkansas.
Yeah, so they beat up Mississippi State last week. The week before that, LSU rolled them. The week before that, they rolled Florida. The week before that, they got destroyed by Auburn. I mean, they're just like back and forth. They either roll or they're getting rolled.
Uh-huh.
But Missouri is the worst team in the SEC this year. I think they have 3 wins. A bet that I did place before the season as far as under win total, they'll be paying out for me shortly. I bet under Missouri had 5 wins for their over-under. I took the under.
Sports betting's illegal, Adam.
It was fake money. Yeah, it was fake money. I didn't bet real money on it.
Where's Kirk Holland at?
He should be coming in any minute. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
I don't have anything. You want to go off about quote tweets?
Yeah. So this, I felt like this was a good take, right?
Yeah.
So people that are on Twitter that are listening, if somebody posts something on Twitter and it's not directed at you, I feel that if you quote retweet it, you're being a douche. And here's my analogy on this. If you're shopping, let's say you're at Fairway, and you're shopping, and you're walking down the aisle, and you hear somebody else say something out loud, and then you say, and you go up to them and say, "Hey, everybody, come look and listen to, and see what hear what these people had to say. This is what they had to say." Most people would consider you being a douche, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's any different than quote retweeting something on Twitter when you're trying to make them look bad. So if you quote retweet someone saying, "Hey, this is a great point," no problem with it. But if you quote retweet somebody saying, "Ha ha, this is
you
really
never
stupid,"
said that though. You just said quote tweets suck. You said you don't want anyone to ever quote tweet you.
Yeah, no. If you think so highly of my quote or tweet, just retweet me. I don't need you to quote retweet me.
You don't want anybody else's, you know.
And
you don't want their feedback or anything.
No, Grant, I know I probably did it before, so I'm being a little bit of a hypocrite here. But I do. I think if you quote retweet somebody mocking the person and they're not tweeting at you directly, they're just tweeting in general,
uh-huh,
I think you're being a douche. I just do. I think it's no different than if you heard someone talking on the street, you thought they said something stupid, and you came and said, "Hey, everyone, come around and listen to what they just said because it's so stupid." I don't think it's very – I think it's mean. But that's the way that people are on Twitter.
Twitter's a bad place, dude.
Dude, Twitter's both great and it's horrible. Some days I think that the world would be a better place without social media, and other days I think Twitter's the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, so, I 100% agree.
Yeah, but Kirk Collins here now, so we're going to get off this podcast here, and we're going to jump on with him, and we'll have a lot of fun on the Trail podcast. Thanks for listening, everyone, and next week Williams and Charter will be back, and it'll be back to being the fall cast, and everyone can – hopefully have more fun
yeah
ahead of this podcast.
For sure. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.